Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Last offer ends 2/28/19.
Coming up in the Gym Class for a potentially snowy Tuesday here on KGYM. We're going to talk some wrestling with you. KJ Pilcher will stop by, talk some high school wrestling and some college wrestling. We're going to warm things up as well. Corey Provis, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Twins, he'll be here tomorrow night for the Hot Stove Banquet. We're going to talk with him about the banquet, the Twins offseason moves, and look ahead to 2019. All that and a look back at Iowa State, Kansas from last night. It's coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. And presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, we bring you the Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM. 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. We will get an eyewitness weather report from our own Mark Dukes coming up here in just a moment. Corey Provis, the voice of the Minnesota Twins, will be joining us here in just a little bit. He'll be here tomorrow night for the Hot Stove Banquet here in town. That is still on, by the way, and we will talk with Corey and look ahead to the 2019 edition of the Minnesota Twins. Also, KJ Pilcher will stop by at about 3:30, where we'll talk with KJ and talk a little wrestling with him at that point. How are the weather conditions as we speak, Mark, on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids?
Well, as someone who just drove about a mile to the studio on mainly main thoroughfares, it's okay, but maybe a little dicey. I wouldn't push the envelope by any means, but a little bit of snow, maybe sleet coming down right now in southwest Cedar Rapids, and I guess just be cautious out there.
Be cautious. that's my advice to anybody out there, is just take it easy, especially in the side streets. They have pushed the arrival of the snow back. It is coming. Heard bad things about our friends to the west in Nebraska. They got inundated a little bit. Western Iowa's getting it, but it's coming, and we'll see how bad it is. They're calling for maybe an increase, maybe 5 to 8 inches or something like that. A lot more than someone whose snowblower is not working right now needs at this point. Let's just put it that way.
That's why you need good neighbors like I have.
We'll see how it goes. Or strong backs. With the snow and everything moving in, I don't think there's anything going on tonight as far as high school activities are concerned. I know Zach Hanley of Channel 2 tweeted out earlier today that every event in the Mississippi Valley, every event in the Wamac, every event in the River Valley, and every event, I believe, in the Tri-Rivers have all been postponed for tonight. And teams are going to be starting to play NBA schedules. And, oh, by the way, when is the next round of snow due, Mark?
Friday.
We'll see how that plays out. 319-366-1600. That is Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers, conveniently located on the Penn Mall for over 70 years in downtown Iowa City. As text line is open and available to you. We're going to talk some baseball. We're going to talk some wrestling. But let's talk some basketball to start things off. Iowa State almost pulled off the very rare double against Bill Self, who in his years at Kansas has only been swept by one team, and that was Oklahoma State some years back. Iowa State had an opportunity, just could not close the deal, had a very bad five-minute stretch midway through the second half last night. And other than that, played a pretty decent game, although they did not get a real good one from Lindell Wigginton last night.
I think that's spot on. Wigginton, with maybe one of his worst games in memory, at least shooting-wise, he made one shot out of eight, I believe. Chayok was really good. Iowa State had no answer for Lawson. Lawson killed him.
He was amazing last night.
He really was.
Outside, inside, rebounding. He did everything last night for Kansas. He put that team on its back, on his back for a while last night. And if Iowa State, you know, Iowa State shot it extremely well in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Took the lead into the break. But I think Iowa State lost their identity a little bit midway through the second half. You'd like to weigh in your thoughts, 319-366-1600 Cyclone fans. This is not a three-point jump shooting team. This is a drive to the basket, taken into the rim. If you cut off, kick it outside, and you get an open three. This is not an off-balance, take it down to about 10 seconds to go into shot clock, or shoot a quick three team. And I think Iowa State just kind of lost their identity for a little bit in the second half last night.
Still, I thought played a pretty good game. That's a really tough venue, and Kansas coming off a loss, wanting to get revenge for the loss in Ames, and it did. But this Big 12 race is still wide open. Iowa State only one game back. Texas Tech and, help me out, play tonight.
Kansas State.
Two teams that are tied for second right now behind Kansas. So this is going to be a pretty good race. I think Iowa State needs more help inside. Cam Lard fouled out last night and really has not hit his stride by any means. Michael Jacobson trying to do what he can.
Had a double-double.
Inside. Did okay. But again, Lawson was really damaging to Iowa State last night.
Yeah, he was. Lawson just kind of, where would Kansas be without him at this stage? Because, and a lot of people were commenting on Twitter and social networking last night that this Iowa State team may be more talented than Kansas. Kansas is young, really young, especially in the backcourt. That's been their Achilles heel all year. That's what did them in the West Virginia game over the last minute. They just they fell apart. And if it wasn't for that guiding force of Lawson, this Kansas team may not win the Big 12 anyway. They certainly would not win the Big 12. I don't even think they'd be in the top two or three if they didn't have Lawson this year. And now are they all going to stay, or are they all going to go pro after this year? I think they should stay for a little bit, but we'll see how that all plays out. But Iowa State had a chance, and still only a game behind the threesome at the top now.
I'll tell you what, if you're an Iowa State fan, most years you're going to take a split against Kansas, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, it would have been nice to get a sweep, but as you outlined, that's only happened once in Bill Self's 15 years.
True.
So it's very difficult to do.
Very, very difficult to do. We've got that to talk about. We also have more officiating things to talk about. We got a poll question up at kgymradio.com for you to peruse and think about here today. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
It is indeed. Should all or any NFL plays be reviewable during the game? Should all or any NFL plays be reviewable? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Do we have, by the way, a correction? Speaking of Emil's Hideaway.
We do indeed.
A correction in the pick six?
I keep track of the results each and every week, and I said that I had won the pick six because I won the tiebreaker over Kyle. And for whatever reason, I thought it was Patrick Mahomes' passing yards. Well, it says right clearly on my sheet that it was Brady's passing yards.
It was Brady's.
And everybody was under, but Kyle was closest, and therefore he's the individual winner. We both retain our 4-2 records for the week, but Kyle, I apologize.
It's okay. I liked it. There was so much controversy.
You were excited about it last night. You were texting me.
I actually did. I like never. I would never text Scott after he leaves work.
No, but no,
I
was you just, can text me after.
I unearthed a scandal. I was like, oh, yes, I must share this. But yeah, there was so much controversy in football on Sunday. I thought, it was perfect that we had a little bit of our own.
After 21 weeks, I think it's my first mistake.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think it is, although we've got bidding rights out there for many accounting firms to see you know, if everything is correct. You know, I think you're doing fine myself. I'm in front.
I did do some digging because I wanted to see how far up this thing went. I thought maybe this thing goes all the way to D.C., but I didn't find any indications that that is the case.
No.
319-366-1600. So Kyle is the individual winner. The only guy that's unhappy is, what, Casey? Because he doesn't... Yeah.
Somebody's out of gift cards.
Yeah, I know. I know how it goes. All right. Before we get to the break, worst kept secret in the National Football League was finally put out there today. Bob Sutton is no longer the defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody could see that coming from a mile away. And the allegedly the leading candidate, Mark, to replace him?
Rex Ryan. You like it?
I don't know. Alex and I were talking about that in the sports office. Sexy Rexy running the defense for the Chiefs.
I think he's having fun on the air right now, isn't he?
I think he is too, but I think it's intriguing. It will not be the Bob Sutton defense, that's for sure. There could be some strange things brewing in Kansas City. Andy Reid and Rex Ryan on the same sideline.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and... get hooked up with Corey Provis of the Minnesota Twins. So stay with us. More to come after this. We're presented by Third Base Brewery on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base... you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
If you shovel it, they will come. Seriously, don't put Garby or Kirby on top of a snowbank. It's not safe for the collection people. Shovel out a space in the snowbank or set them on your driveway. The city of Cedar Rapids thanks you.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
It either is or it isn't. When it comes down to it, that's all that really matters when choosing a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. It's either certified by Mercedes-Benz factory-trained technicians or it isn't. It's either backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years or it isn't. It's absolute confidence in 30,000 precision parts or it isn't. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now through February 28th, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Come in today and we'll help cover your first month's payment. Offer available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. There are those who settle for nothing less. For them, the choice is simple. It's either up to Mercedes-Benz standards, or it isn't. It's flawlessly maintained, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit towards your first month's payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
Back with you in the gym class at KGYM. I'm going to talk to KJ Pilcher, talk some wrestling with you here. Just past the bottom of the hour, anticipating talking with Minnesota Twins play-by-play voice Corey Provis coming up here, as he will be in town tomorrow night for the Minnesota Twins caravan as the hot stove banquet goes off tomorrow. 23rd annual, I do believe, because it coincides with the 23rd. Funny how that works, isn't it?
How about that, yeah.
Funny how that plays out right there. Again, no basketball coming your way tonight. With that in mind, the Cyclone Coaches Show, the Courtside Coaches Show, has been moved back to its original time of 7:05. It was going to be after basketball tonight. It will now be back to its original time at 7:05. So Cyclone fans, make that notation out there if you'd like.
Indeed. Interesting announcement coming out of Iowa today. Of course, this week is a an interesting week for the men's and women's basketball programs, as the women's program faces league-leading Rutgers tomorrow, and then the men's program faces league-leading Michigan State on Thursday, going to allow students in for free in the Michigan State game and free public parking for both games. Very interesting.
Well, they want to get a good crowd. They want to make it look good, and they want to get it loud at Carver-Hawkeye. And Vivian Stringer knows the power of free seating for a women's basketball game, as she was there as a witness to the day back. Gosh, when was that? Mid to late 80s? Oh, it was mid 80s.
Iowa, Ohio State.
Iowa,
over 20,000 people at Carver-Hawkeye.
Yeah, until the fire marshal stepped in and said, I don't think so. That's enough. But yeah, I remember that day like it was yesterday. Hanging out. I was on the top, the concourse, on a railing at Carver-Hawkeye, and it was, you know, two or three deep up there. They weren't in the aisles, so that was good news. But that was a red-letter day, and Vivian Stringer will never forget that day, certainly. And a lot of people that were there will never forget that day, certainly. So, good times. Good times, and we'll see. Rutgers has been... they're never going to be a bad team under Vivian Stringer, but they were a bit of a surprise this year.
Yeah, Maryland was picked as a league favorite. And right now, I think Maryland's two games back.
Yes, they are.
And this would be a huge win for the Iowa women, who are playing well. Of course, Stringer coming back for the game. Megan Gustafson trying to do Gustafson things once again against Rutgers. And I would say Iowa women have been getting... contributions from other places as well. Tania Davis, Kathleen Doyle,
Anna Stewart.
Anna Stewart. So this is a good Iowa basketball program. We'll see what it can do against the league leader.
Yeah, so that'll be coming up tomorrow night. A lot of things happening tomorrow night. So that should be a very interesting game down in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. While we wait for Corey Provost, we can talk some officiating. We can do a lot of stuff. We can talk a little bit about if you want to see instant replay on every play in the National Football League, which some people are calling for. I have been a proponent for a while, Mark, that I think there should be a quote-unquote eye in the sky replay guy, official or gal, doesn't matter either way. But I've said that for a long time, to buzz in when they see something. So anyway, just my thought.
I would agree. I don't want every ticky tacky call going to, under the
right
discretion of, the replay official. But
when it's blatant. You got to
like
have
in the New Orleans Rams game.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When it's blatant out there, you got to have something like that. So I think that would be a plus for the National Football League. And after what happened on Sunday, I think a lot of people would possibly agree with us. That was our poll question yesterday. A part of it anyway, as far as overtime is concerned. And now today, of course, remind the folks one more time before we talk to Corey Provost here about today's Emil's Hideaway poll question.
Should all or any NFL plays be reviewable during the game? Yes or no?
Yep. Go ahead and vote at kgymradio.com. And our thanks to Emil's Hideaway for helping us out with that. Of course, Minnesota Twins games right here on KGYM and 107.5 FM. And the Hot Stove Banquet goes off tomorrow night. Twins Caravan going on right now, and what better time to come to beautiful Eastern Iowa than when 5 to 8 inches of snow are expected. And Corey Provost joining us, the voice of the Minnesota Twins. And Corey, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Are you in Eastern Iowa, or are you going through the Midwest in some other locale right now?
I was out on the lengthy caravan last week, so I was out in South Dakota and more southwestern Minnesota last week. So this week I'm back in the cities, and then we head down to Cedar Rapids tomorrow.
Corey, let's talk about some of the off-season acquisitions, especially position players, C.J. Krohn, Jonathan Scope, Nelson Cruz as the DH. What are your thoughts on what the Twins did?
A lot of, low risk, moves, and I think it's comparable to what they did last year. I think certainly the emphasis, there were noticeable voids to fill when you look at the offense and starting with Joe Mauer's retirement and Brian Dozier's, his departure, around the deadline and not bringing back Logan Forsythe. So they had to fill voids at first and second base. So I think the Krohn signing and the Jonathan Scope signing, that takes care of that. And I know there was a lot of discussion about, does Miguel Sano stay at third base or does he go to first base? Well, the answer is he stays at third. Well, that's going to happen. And who's going to provide some thump in the lineup? Do you trust Tyler Austin to do that day in and day out, or can you grab an experienced bat and a guy like Nelson Cruz, who kind of fits that mold perfectly, and that need that they certainly had? The lineup looks great. I mean, you look at the lineup, there's a lot of, home run potential up and down this lineup. Yeah, they're going to strike out, but who doesn't in today's game? So I like the moves offensively. Pitching, there are needs there too, certainly in the bullpen. And Blaine Parker is not, the power arm, but a guy that did close some games with the Angels. But to me, that's a big question about who's going to close for this team right now. Does Hildenberger get another chance? Does Trevor May get a chance? Because I think we now know he is set to be a reliever, and that debate about him being a starter, at least for now, is kind of put aside.
It comes down to pitching, and you know that. Everybody that follows baseball knows that. And if the Twins, you mentioned the lineup. Lineup looks solid. If the Twins get any semblance of pitching, they have a chance to make some noise this year in the American League Central.
I've been reading Fangraphs and looking at kind of the wide range of win totals that this team projects to have, and it's about a 15-win gap. Depending on how guys perform, that's a pretty wide margin. They could win 75 games, but then if Buxton is a part of it, and we all hope he is, if we see the guy that ended 17 with those numbers, and Miguel Sano, the guy who began 17 with those numbers, then this team could win 90 games. I really believe that, because it's so incumbent upon those two guys being not just role players, but being impactful people and impactful performers in this lineup. The pitching, obviously, I'm with you, because I think the Twins lineup stacks up better right now than the Indians lineup, but I still think we all have to give the edge in pitching, starting pitching, that is, to the Indians, because that to this day remains the dominant beast in the AL Central. Barrios, we saw some strides last year. Kyle Gibson, I mean, I don't know who saw that year coming. He was fantastic. And then Michael Pineda is kind of a wild card coming off Tommy John. And then Jake Odorizzi was better at the end than he was at the beginning. And then they signed Martin Perez. I think that's just a volume add more than anything else. And I don't think they'll need a fifth starter for a while anyway, with all the off days they have in April. This is going to be, I would believe, kind of a four-man rotation for a while to begin the season.
Jason Castro obviously missed a lot of time last year. Do you expect Garver to get that position on a daily basis, or will it be split?
I think Castro is the starting catcher. Now, coming off the injury that he had, I think spring training, they're going to really watch his reps. The goal when Jason Castro signed 2 years ago, the number they had, this was a healthy Jason Castro, was about catching 120 games. I think now you're looking at him maybe catching 90 to 100 games. So if I have to put him on a depth chart right now, I think Castro is number one still. But do I see the Twins going full-out platoon behind the plate? Big time. I think that Garver's the backup. And then Williams Astudillo, barring something shockingly surprising, he's going to be on the team as kind of a third catcher slash utility player slash you're getting blown out. Guess who's going to go in and pitch a little bit? One of those kind of deals. So I think that the roster will have three catchers, because Astudillo does slot in there. But I still think that Castro on a depth chart is still number one and Garver's number two.
One of the real fun stories for me last year, and I've been a Twins fan for 40-some years, and that was Jake Cave. And he is such a versatile player. We're going to see a lot of him, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's right now, I think a fourth outfielder. I still think the outfield is set with Rosario, Buxton, Kepler. Now, Kepler, is interesting, too, because Kepler in the minor leagues, he did play some first base.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be shocked if we see him in spring training play some first base too, not to take him out of right field, but maybe on a day where you want to rest somebody else and you want to put Kepler and you want to play Cave as well, and then Jake plays right and Kepler plays some first, depending on who's on the mound. I wouldn't be shocked if that's how it plays out, because I think Jay Cave, he had a really good year. I mean, he quietly had a really good year after the Twins got him during spring training last year. So, yeah, to me, he's the fourth outfielder. But with the way that they're going to kind of move some bodies around, especially, in my opinion, Kepler kind of as a backup first baseman, we may see Cave, you know, play some right field as well.
Corey Provis joining us here at 3:28 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We've seen so many of these guys go through Cedar Rapids in the last few years, and Berríos and Buxton. Lately, Royce Lewis. Of course, Alex Kirilloff, who was the Minor League Player of the Year and is going to be here tomorrow night as well. Everybody very, very much familiar with him. But we're starting to see these guys, pitchers, everyday players, go through and get into the Twin Cities now and hopefully make their way into the Twins lineup. And I know a lot of people down here are very excited about that.
And I'm guessing you'll see some more talent come your way as well this season. The Twins farm system took a hit in recent years because of the aforementioned names, those guys graduating and moving on, if not to the big leagues, then, you know, moving up to AAA. Well, you know, what last season did was that it allowed the Twins to kind of sell off some assets and also restock their farm system a little bit. You know, I think at the end of the year, the Twins farm system was top seven, top six, according to MLB.com. So they did kind of beef up the farm system again with all the various moves that they made. Now, look, were they popular amongst Twins fans? No, because he traded away, you know, some very popular players in Dozier and Escobar and Ryan Pressly to an extent as well. But Pressly and Escobar, even going back to that weird day, that weird kind of 36 hours, in Boston last year around the deadline when all that happened, was those were the two most attractive pieces. So when you look back at what the Twins got back in return, people really like the value that the Twins got back best in for Pressly and also Escobar, not to mention, you know, even getting Tyler Austin too from the Yankees for Lance Lynn. So I think you'll see some more talent, you know, make their way through Cedar Rapids. And some of that talent was not even in the organization this time last year.
I wasn't a fan of Molitor being let go, but it is what it is. And I know why. How will the Twins be different with Rocco Baldelli at the helm?
We don't know. That's a very fair question, and I don't know the answer to that, too. I don't know. Until we get down to not even spring training, but I think we need, you know, a good month, 2 months of watching, you know, Rocco manage at the major league level in regular season games to kind of pick out certain moments that, okay, this maybe looks, you know, a little different. You know, there may be some different drills in spring training that they do, but I don't know how much of that is really the manager or just whoever's running, you know, camp in a particular spring. So I think it's going to take some time to kind of learn exactly what Rocco's style is going to be. I'll say this. I think it was a smart move on his part as he was reaching out to all the players to kind of begin to form and build relationships. He didn't just call Buxton over the phone. He went down to Georgia to see him. He didn't just call Sano over the phone. He went down to the Dominican to see him. So just kind of going back to what I mentioned earlier, how vital those two are, you know, the Twins being successful or not, that those parties are all on the same page as far as expectations, as far as relationships. That was a smart move on Rocco's part.
Those two guys are the key to that gap you talked about, 75 to 90 wins.
I think so. I really do. And if you look at some of the metrics and what, you know, FanGraphs projects as their, you know, wins above replacement, it's in the mid twos. Well, you know, Buxton was playing well over that at the end of 17, and Sano was around a four, I mean, to begin the first two, 3 months of the 17 season. So that's a pretty significant gap. And that's why, you know, it's not fair to put so much on those two guys, but the fact is that that's it. To me, those guys were on the covers of all the magazines as they came up to the system, and they're still so young, and there's still so much untapped potential that I just think, to me, it's about them. This window to contend is incumbent upon those two guys performing in ways that we've seen in the past, and we haven't seen them very long, but we've seen glimpses of what makes them such unique and special talents.
By the way, a very unique individual you will be hanging around with a lot on Rocco Baldelli's staff. And we've had a chance to get to know Tommy Watkins here in Cedar Rapids for the last several years. He's a very unique individual. Let's just say that, Corey.
Well, everywhere he goes, he gets coined the mayor of said town.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor of Cedar Rapids. When he was in Fort Myers, he's the mayor of Fort Myers. There must be something to that, that this guy, every stop along the way, he always has the mayor attached to his name. So, you know, I've met him. I got to know him a little bit late last year when he joined the big league staff, but this is a great opportunity for him to join the coaching staff, and it'll be fun traveling the schedule with him this season.
Let's hope he waves a lot of players around first base, Corey.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be really nice.
We'll see if he has his bowling ball with him. He always does. So.
He borrowed mine when he was in town.
Well, that's true. That's true. I think as of today, only 10 tickets remained for the Hot Stove Banquet tomorrow. So it's going to be a big, big house there. And Corey, have a safe trip down here. Appreciate the time. Enjoy it. And looking forward to the 2019 Twins baseball season.
Sounds good. Guys, thanks for the time.
You bet. Corey Provis joining us here on Gym Class on KGYM. And as I mentioned, I think as of this morning, only 10 tickets remain for the Hot Stove Banquet. So call the Colonels and find out if you can pick up one of those last remaining tickets. Mm-hmm. Take a break, come back, and we'll talk to KJ Pilcher. Talk some wrestling with you after this.
Get out of the cold and warm up with the Cedar Rapids Colonels' annual Hot Stove Banquet. Tomorrow, join the Colonels at East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, which will be emceed by Twins radio broadcaster Corey Provis and include Twins Minor League Player of the Year Alex Kirilloff. The Colonels' 1994 Midwest League Championship team will also be honored. Tickets are $50, and all proceeds will benefit the Colonels' Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
As we get deeper into the college basketball season, it becomes pretty clear that the top-ranked teams are those who landed star players during the recruiting season. But if you're running a business, where do you go to find top recruits? LinkedIn, where people go every day to make connections, grow their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you are looking for and then recommends qualified candidates, many of whom you won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn. And posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. Build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience. Back at 3:36 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class KGYM. We've moved up the Cyclone Call-In Show. The Cyclone Coaches Show. No calls anymore. Cyclone Coaches Show back to its original time of 7:05 tonight as our high school basketball is snowed away. As the anticipation of the snowstorm moving in. Does this one have a name? I don't think this one has a name. I is up next. Maybe it's Snowstorm Iowa.
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. Very good. So we'll see how that all plays out overnight because the snow is supposed to be starting here in a little bit, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, and then moving through the evening. So there you go. A guy that's going to be wrangling that snow along with the rest of us is KJ Pilcher of the Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. By the way, I should mention that our friend John Bonenkamp, who I said on Twitter earlier today was going to be on today, is going to be on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I may have started World War III.
He's a coward. He knows better than to come on the same show as me.
Well, that was my fault, man. We had it mixed up on days that Corey was going to be on, so John graciously moved to tomorrow.
I'm sure he did.
Hi, John.
I love John Bodenkamp. He's somebody that I really have gotten along with covering certain events, and we have this ongoing fake feud that I'm not sure exactly how it started, but we have a lot of fun with it, you know, over social media and everything. So I couldn't pass up the opportunity to razz him a little bit when I found out that he wasn't actually on the show.
Understand.
So, but it's all in good fun. I love John.
There you go. By the way, KJ's appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee.
On the text line, 5551 says the storm is named Indra.
Indra.
I-N-D-R-A.
Ah, thank you very much, texters. Appreciate that.
KJ, you were at a historic event Saturday in Waverly, and I followed very closely. Tell us what you saw.
I saw something that was probably long overdue and pretty special, to be honest with you. And we've talked about it a few times, you know, kind of leading up to this. But, you know, I think the organizers and the officials held it properly. I just want to make note, you know, we're talking about the weather today, but we had, you know, we had pretty, I don't want to say severe weather, but, you know, we had a good sized snow fall over Friday and Saturday that wiped out a lot of the competition in the area. And I know calling around Friday trying to find out what females were going to go up there and what programs were going to get kids to that girls state tournament held by the Iowa Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association. And a lot of them were determined to get up there Friday early enough to beat the storm, so they didn't leave anything to chance, so they could partake in that. And, you know, it was really cool. And they ran it simultaneously with Waverly Shell Rock's Rick Caldwell Invitational. You know, and instead of pushing the girls' competition to the side, they took center stage. They're in the three center mats in a very full gym up there at Waverly Shell Rock, which is a good-sized facility if you've ever been up there or seen it. You know, the guys' tournament, you wouldn't even know what really was going on, to tell you the truth, because a lot of the focus was on the females competing, which it should have been. And you know, it was really cool. You saw all the elements of, you know, just any other tournament. You know, you had matches that went down to the final seconds. You saw people that got injured, and you had individuals that dominated, and it had all the elements that you would expect from a wrestling meet. And it just happened to be, you know, just an all girls division, which, you know, I think it's a testament to the competitors and the way they competed and the people that that ran the tournament as well. It was pretty awesome. And I tell you guys, you know, I think a lot of people know I'm an emotional person the way it is. And, you know, I got goosebumps talking to some of the competitors. You know, Millie Peach from Iowa Valley, who won a state title there Saturday. And I said, you know, do you see yourself being a role model, or, you know, kind of being an example for younger girls to follow? And, you know, she kind of looked and said, you know, I hope so, because I got three younger sisters at wrestle. Yeah. And it really kind of put things in perspective and really, you know, hey, you know, there's a group that deserves to have this opportunity. And we saw the baby steps of making that happen. And like Millie said, hopefully 10 years, by the time the youngest sister is my age, it'll be, you know, as big as the boys or down at Wells Fargo in front of big crowds as well. I thought it was pretty neat to watch that play out and see, you know, somebody like Chloe Clemens, who became a Jefferson State champ, and, you know, Hannah Michael from Union community that won the very first match, and Allie Gerbrock, who jumped into her dad's arms, Chad I know wrestled at Wartburg, and he's her coach and the AGWSR coach. And just like you see in Des Moines, a lot of times, wrestler wins a title and jumps in their coach's arms, and she did that, being the first girls' champion. So it was a really neat experience.
To me, reading about it and talking with folks, including you, it seems like it checked all the boxes of what it needed to do to get on the radar of the associations and to get the ball rolling. It's not going to be next year, maybe not even the year after, that this thing gets, you know, maybe even to Des Moines and during the week of the Iowa High School Wrestling Championships. But it was a very significant first step. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. You know, there are 87 girls total, and that's a little, actually quite a bit shy of what they had registered. You know, the weather did impact the participation. You know, I can't remember. I think there are 9 schools that were represented by champion, by the titleists, 14 or so in the finals. But, you know, you're right. Gene Berger from the girls' union was in attendance. She didn't want to talk on the record about anything at that point. And I know, I think the coaches are very serious about, you know, kind of pushing this and supporting this. And, you know, as you said, it checked all the boxes that it needed to. And just, I shared this number with our staff during our meetings on Monday, that just from the time that they announced they were going to have this IWCOA state title or championships for the all-girls division, over like the 2 weeks between the announcement and the event, I think female participation jumped from 120 to 180 or something like that. It was crazy how much just that opportunity got, you know, that much more interest from athletes. And, you know, that's only going to grow. And like you said, it might not be a year or two or three, but I could see, if it's not sanctioned in 5 years, I certainly could see this being a division along with, you know, almost like a separate class during the IHSAA tournament down at Wells Fargo. So, you know, you'd have your 1A, 2A, 3A competition, and then you would have the girls' division as well, and probably give females a choice, you know, where do you want to compete? And I could see that being, you know, in a 5-10 year range.
Yeah, that's a little tricky, as you know, KJ, because I was the only state in the union with two separate governing bodies for the boys and the girls. And that was part of my question, which you really kind of answered. But 14 states in the union have sanctioned wrestling for girls. Have you heard any number of individuals or teams that is needed to get this thing sanctioned?
No, the only thing that they really they developed a policy, and I don't know the ins and outs of that, because when the wrestling supporters approached the union and almost kind of, you know, kind of forced their way in to the door, kind of, you know, the union said, well, we don't really even have a policy about sanctioning things. And that was something that they had to come up with. So at least the insistence of getting attention has caused the union to map out a policy. I don't know the exact ins and outs and the numbers of what it's going to take for them to be sanctioned by the girls union. But I do know the association, I believe, is very serious about, you know, they can't sanction female wrestling, but they certainly can have girls wrestling a part of the overall sport. And I think that's what the association is focused on until the union decides what it's going to do, if it does anything at all.
KJ Pilcher joining us at 3:47 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We talk some wrestling, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. That was one of the things that did go on. We lost most everything else, although there were a few that did go on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple. The main one in the area was at Iowa City High. You know, that was the Clyde Bean duels down there is, you know, obviously named after the famous coach down there in City High. I thought it was kind of interesting talking to Blake Williams from Solon. Solon's not usually part of the field down there in that dual tournament. And they were going to go all the way over to Battle Creek, Ida Grove, Oldable Arthur for a big two-day tournament over there. And, of course, weather kind of prevented that. Weather actually caused it to become a one-day tournament on Saturday, and then they weren't able to make it Friday because I believe the school kind of said, no, we're not going to travel all the way over there through everything. And then they happened to be sending their JV squad to Anamosa. So they worked a deal to just send their entire team, varsity and JV, to Anamosa, and then that got canceled. So then they called up Corey Connell, Blake Williams did, and said, hey, you know, I see Decorah's not coming down. Do you have a spot for us? And he's like, yeah, sure. We're moving it back to noon. And, of course, they went down there. There are only four teams, Xavier, City High, and I think Muscatine might have come up. And, you know, they went 3-0 down there. Zach Bevins, their 52-pounder, had a really big day. Got a win over Iowa City High's Zach Heffley. You know, who's highly ranked in Class 3A and has been wrestling really well as of late. And just kind of a good showing there. And City High, you know, 2-1. They actually recognized or celebrated their 1999 state championship team, which was kind of cool for them. But, you know, even Xavier, you know, they got a big win. I believe it was Christian Stanek, a freshman at 132, with a win over Zeb Gnida from Solon, who I believe is a state medalist. You know, so some good action down there in Iowa City.
The big story is coming up this weekend. We hope the weather stays nice because we got
knock on wood.
Yeah, we got conference tournaments coming up all over the place, including down in Iowa City at West High for the Mississippi Valley Conference meet.
Yeah, you know that's one that's always you know, kind of front and center when we get to this time of year. And just like years past, there's going to be 33 ranked wrestlers there. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm trying to remember. This might be the first addition of teams to the field since it actually started in 1993 when it, you know, the MVC became a 14 team conference. I can't remember any additions or a 16 team field. With the addition of Western Dubuque and Iowa City Liberty. And, you know, Western Dubuque is a team that's ranked seventh right now in the Class 3A rankings. And, you know, they won a WOMAC title a couple of years ago. And this is a team that certainly could contend for a team title. You've got, you know, we've talked about it on the show before, where I think there's a lot of parity in the Mississippi Valley Conference, where you have a lot of teams with a handful of you know, good point scorers, where you have Western Dubuque and Cedar Rapids Kennedy, you have Prairie, City High, Linmar, that have, you know, about four or five guys that can make some noise. You know, Dubuque Hempstead certainly is in the mix. And, you know, Cedar Falls is kind of interesting. Maybe not a lot of ranked wrestlers, but some good balance. And Chris Ortner, the head coach there, is doing some really good things. So, you know, we could see a really close race. You know, City High ended Prairies. I think they had won it five straight times. And, you know, City High is looking for a second in a row. You've got some really good weight classes with about three or four ranked wrestlers. I think I have it at seven weight classes. So half the brackets are going to have at least three ranked wrestlers. And 220, you've got four. Third-ranked Tanner Schultz. Fourth-ranked Schultz from Linmar. Fourth-ranked Jason Simon Wrestler. I think a lot of people remember him from the football season. He was an outstanding defender player for Western Dubuque. Cam Jones, who's ranked seventh for Kennedy, who beat Tanner Schultz actually in the duel last Thursday. And then you have Landon Green, another a really good athlete, who's ninth for Iowa City West, wrestling in his home gym. So you're going to see a lot of matchups like that. You know, at 182, Jacob Wimpen from Linmar is ranked number one. Western Dubuque's Devin Ludwig is third. And then you have Will Hoft of Iowa City West. That's four. You know, even at 132, you've got Joe Pins. He's ranked second for Dubuque Hempstead, one of the great names in wrestling, obviously. Going against Conrad Braswell, you would think that would be the finals matchup of 132. Braswell's ranked third, and he's looking to become the 10th wrestler in MVC history to win four conference titles. You know, Nelson Brandt did that last year to become number nine, and Braswell has won three straight here. So he's going to have his work cut out for him to join that elite group that, you know, that includes, you know, like Cliff Moore and Nate Moore, Derek St. John, and guys like that. But a lot of really good matchups throughout the entire field Saturday down at West.
And then most everybody has their tournaments this weekend, right? There isn't anyone around here that doesn't have their conference tournament, is there?
I believe the CIML is the only one that waits till the following week.
And they do it on Friday.
They do it on Friday. So I knew it was kind of different off there. I'm not sure what the MAC does. I think MAC at some time used to have it different, but I don't think they can do that because next week is sectionals, and, you know, they've got a team like Davenport Assumption that'll be in the 2A field. So, you know, the only teams that really could move that around are the 3A schools, and the rest of them, like the WAMAC over at Benton, where West Delaware is looking to win their second straight team title, and, of course, the Tri-Rivers made up of pretty much 1A teams where Lisbon's looking to win again. You know, they're going this weekend because we're already at the postseason, which seems kind of mind-boggling, but it's kind of on the doorstep already.
Tomorrow's guest, John Bonenkamp, on line one. John, we're sorry we're out of time. You have no opportunity to harass KJ, okay? I'm kidding.
He's kidding.
He knows better. He knows better. Or a cow catcher's coming his way.
Hey, KJ, appreciate it. Enjoy the wrestling. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Will do. Thanks, guys. And if you need anybody to shovel out your driveway, I've got two daughters that are just asking for more physical labor. So. Let me know.
All right. We'll do. Thanks. KJ Pilcher, read his stuff at thegazette.com. The daughter's going to be happy that dad is volunteering them for things like that. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap her up after this.
Save 11% on everything at Menards. It's the perfect time for a kitchen update. Explore the beautiful cabinets on display and find the style that's right for your home, knowing you can save 11% on all of it. Compliment your cabinets with Riverstone Quartz countertop. Complete the project with a perfect faucet, backsplash, and floor, and save 11% on everything now at Menards. Good through January 26th. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Alexis, I've reviewed your resume online, and I think you're very professional, punctual, a fantastic listener, and I believe you'd be a great fit at our company.
Dave, we've talked about this. I will not be your employee. I'm your therapist.
Is this reverse psychology?
No, Dave.
Does that mean yes?
We're out of time, Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back on the gym class to wrap things up. Emil's Hideaway poll questions out there. Deals with the National Football League and officiating.
Should all or any NFL play be reviewable during the game? Yes or no? Go to KGYMradio.com to vote. Right now, 3/4 of you say yes.
I think so, too. But you're going to have 3.5 hour, 3:45, 4 hour games. So
depending on how they do it, yeah.
Get ready for that. But you got to get it right. I think that's the most essential part of it. Getting it right next, it'll be Alex and Kyle with the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Stay tuned.
Let's be real, fellas. Shopping's terrible. Waiting in long lines, cramped dressing rooms, endlessly searching for your size. Personally, I've never found the idea of going to the store and scavenging for clothes appealing. So if you're like me, stop